You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
This episode of Sports on Tap is brought to you by Audible. To apply for your Audible membership, go to www.audible.com/Detroit or text Detroit to 500-500. Membership includes one free audiobook a month, exclusive sales, and 30% off all regularly priced audiobooks. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, such as End Zone by John U. Bacon, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. It's also free on apps for iPhone, iPad, Android, and Windows Phone. Download and listen on iOS device, Android, Amazon Fire tablets, Windows Phone. Unlike a streaming or rental service, with Audible, you own your books. Also has My Library. Access your books anytime, anywhere, right from your smartphone. Also, a great listen guarantee. Didn't like it? You can swap it. More features include Send This Book. Share a book from your library with anyone, and if it's their first time accepting a book through this feature, they can listen free. Clips. Share audio excerpts from your favorite listens with anyone. Chapter navigation. Speed control. Listen faster or slower narration at the speed that suits you. Also, whisper sync for voice. Switch back and forth between reading and listening to your book. So go to www.audible.com/Detroit or text Detroit to 500-500. That's www.audible.com/Detroit or text Detroit to 500-500.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
I don't know what we're yelling about.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Loud noises!
Not a game.
This is the first time I'm alive. I'm glad I'm dead.
We're talking about practice, man.
How many assholes we got on this ship anyhow?
65.
63.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
We are tonight's entertainment.
We're here to fuck shit up.
Sports the way it should be. Nothing sugar-coated. We're loaded with all the information you wanted. From legends to prospects, nothing's off limits. Chris and Joe be taking on all topics with no stopping. They keep it going and going and bar hopping at a rate that's hard stopping. With news that's jaw dropping, they're getting it in. Sports Center competition, man, they're in it to win. This ain't a fluke, from Carolina to Duke, from MSU to Michigan. You'll know if you listening, if you ain't, you missing it. All the excitement, they shock like a thundercloud and ride with lightning. Get it together, you know ain't nobody better. Bring heat than cold weather, you better put on a sweater. You better just let it go and no, I'm coming attack. Sit back, relax, let's tell them it's on tap.
Welcome to this week's edition of Sports on Tap. I am Chris Scott, alongside Frank Jagata.
What's going on, buddy?
Buddy, what's happening?
What's happening?
Unfortunately, we are without the services of Joe Waddell today, so it's just me and you holding down the fort tonight.
Man down.
You know, got to do what you got to do. I understand it. Yeah. So we'll hold it down for you, Joe.
We all got lives. We understand.
We
shit
do.
Happens.
Yeah, shit does happen. Speaking of shit happens, I want to jump right into this.
All right, let's go.
The disgrace down in Columbus, Ohio. Are you fucking kidding me with this? Like, honestly, are you absolutely kidding me with this? Ohio State, I hated you before, but now at least I respected your program.
I looked at it this way, and I thought it was a very obvious way to look at it, and I posted this on Facebook. I don't know if you caught it or not. Mm. I had quite a bit of interaction with some friends of mine. Some of them didn't get where I was coming from with it, and some of them totally understood and agreed with me. Joe Paterno was fired because he knew of a situation,
yep,
and did nothing about it.
Right.
Now, understanding that the situation took place with many, many kids, mm-hmm, over a long period of time, like it's a very, very serious situation. I'm not saying that Urban's isn't, but this is an extreme case.
Right.
But he was fired because he didn't say anything. So you set the bar at that point of if you know of something and don't report it, you should be fired.
Right.
Urban then turns around and doesn't say shit.
Yeah.
To anybody other than apparently his wife.
And lied about it.
And lies about it.
Yeah.
And continues to lie about it through the entire investigation.
Right.
And then he gets served three games.
Also, hold on. And an investigation that was headed by the university itself.
Yes. The board.
And really?
I don't remember the exact details of it, but the board is the one who decided on the three games.
Yeah.
But the president of the university wanted him gone. But the board basically said, you work for us. He works for us. We make the decisions here, not you.
Right.
I agree with the president of the university.
I do as well.
He should have been gone.
Yeah.
Especially with a university like that, you have another coach that's essentially sitting right there on the staff.
Yep.
Like, you're not going to really lose out on much. You're going to look much better if you actually do what you should have done and fired him.
Right.
And you're probably not any better or worse of a team if you do fire him and do hire – was it Spurrier that's sitting on there – or not Spurrier.
I'm not sure.
I can't think of his name right now. Sorry.
That's all right.
But they have a DC, I think, that's sitting right there that's
right.
ready to become a head coach that was a head coach for a while.
And so, you also have guys out there that would gladly take that job.
Yeah.
I would absolutely gladly take that job. It's not like you would struggle finding another head coach at all because it's one of the premier gigs in the sport, period.
It's easily the best Big Ten team. I know you don't want to hear that.
No, it's
– I know Sparty fans don't want to hear that.
It's accurate. It's fact.
But right now Ohio State is the Big Ten team.
They are the class of the Big Ten, no doubt. There's no disputing
that. So you've got your choice of just about any coach that would like to be part of a premier organization.
Outside of Nick Saban, yeah, you have your choice of pretty much any coach and probably Harbaugh. You know?
Right. So. And I mean, I think Sweeney's probably all set at Clemson.
Yeah,
I think he's probably going to take – well, an old friend of the show, Ryan, seems to think he's going to take over at Bama when Saban moves on. But
I would not be shocked to see that.
I wouldn't either.
Because he went there. So
yeah,
I get it.
He's a Bama guy. Mm-hmm. So I think he's probably not going to rock the boat too much unless he ends up getting fired from there.
Right.
So I think you got some coaches that are pretty set in the jobs they have.
Right, right.
Most coaches would look at that and go, yeah, that's a huge step up from
exactly,
where I'm at.
Exactly. Maybe they can get P.J. Fleck. He can roll the boat in Columbus.
Oh, God. Don't make me laugh that hard, please. The guy was great at Western.
Yeah. Now he's in big boy football.
Yeah.
A little bit different.
Yeah, but I mean, that program also is a lot different than something like Western. Western's taking the best of what's left.
Yeah,
a place absolutely. Like Minnesota is it's always going to be a whatever program, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be like in the upper echelon of the Big Ten.
If I got an offer to go play at Minnesota, that's great. If I got nothing else.
Yeah.
But if I got something else, I'd probably consider that a little bit more than I would
Minnesota. I'm going to something else.
Right.
But no, back to – it's just the absolute – you look at it just in college athletics in general, not just college football, basketball. Mm-hmm. It's just the whole NCAA as a whole. It's become such an abomination, especially with cases like this, because you're basically telling your recruits and the players that you already have there that money – that's all that matters is money. It's simple as that. That's all that matters is money.
Urban and Meyer, schools are now telling you that all that matters are money and wins.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, so basically with this, they prioritize winning and money over, you know, something as serious as domestic abuse. And if I'm a recruit, and I get that these parents want to get their kids in the college so they can possibly make it to the show. I get all that. But you gotta look at it like realistically and morally, in my opinion, and say, well, I don't want you playing for a coach that allowed this to go on and did not do anything about it.
If somebody I knew's parent didn't look at it that way, I would start reconsidering my opinions on that person.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you said, you hit it right on the head, the morality of the situation.
Right.
Like, where do your morals lie?
Right.
Is the abuse of women not that big of a deal?
Apparently not.
If it's not, then go ahead, send your kid there.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying that Urban's the guy who did it and didn't get in trouble. Like, no, I understand that was an assistant coach who has been removed. I get all the details. But at the same time, if you know and you don't say anything, in my book, that's a huge deal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely it is. It's that you got, like I said, a lot of these parents of these players, they want to get their kids in the college.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all well and good. And for some, if that's the only way you can do it, okay. But you got to look at it morally and be like, all right, do I really want my kid playing for a guy like this? I personally wouldn't. But then again, these are, you know, these are 18-year-old, you know, they're technically adults. They're allowed to make their own decisions. Yeah. And if that's where they want to go, then I will voice my opinion and say, I'd rather you not play there, but you're a grown man. Do what you got to do.
And I'm not even saying that about the five-star blue chip guys that are like, you know, that are more likely to become better players than some of the other ones. I'm saying that across the board. I would rather see any one of those kids, for their own sake, go to a Michigan, go to a Michigan State, go to, you know, a Nebraska, whoever the hell is out there that would be looking at drafting somebody like that. Because you figure if Ohio State's looking at a kid.
A lot of other schools are looking
at him. Most other schools are probably looking
at him. Exactly.
And it just – it's a shame. And then I would look at it now and go, he's an Ohio State guy. Like, not that these players had anything to do with it, but
– you chose to go there.
Yeah, it almost takes a notch off the standard that Ohio State is right now. Mm-hmm. You know, Michigan State's been getting dogged for a year now almost because of what happened with Larry Nassar. And people look at Michigan State right now and go, but it's Michigan State. Mm-hmm. Even though it has nothing to do with their football or basketball programs that we know of yet.
Right.
It's still that negative mark on the university.
It is, and I think that'll stay with Michigan State for quite a while. I do.
I think that one has to.
And I think the same with Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And that's one part that really irritates me is, first of all, he was upset that he got three games.
Right.
I'm like, really? You should have been fired. Like, but you're upset you got three games?
But you got to think, too, like, you know, and I don't know his exact quotes on the situation or any of that, but this is also the guy that had players like like Aaron Hernandez, mm-hmm. like the Pouncey brothers, players like that. And he also coached Tim Tebow, who playing and ability aside, might have been one of the best human beings to ever play sports.
Right, that's true.
So I'm not saying that he's, you know, they're the direct result of what he did. I'm just saying, like, he is more likely to turn a blind eye to situations.
To win.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I don't mean to tie that all together there.
Right.
If it has nothing to do with each other, but looking at it, not having any of those facts, I just look at it and go, hey, you coach the guy who committed triple murder. You coach two brothers who have had more than enough issues with guns and drugs.
Well, like, you just look at his players' arrest records when he was at Florida. Mm-hmm. It's since, and everybody talked about, you know, Miami being like that program, like Thug U or whatever. No, you look at his players' arrest record at Florida. Oh my God, it's insanely long. It's like, okay, so that right there should set up red flags that is the type of coach that he is.
Mm-hmm.
He just cares about wins. He doesn't care who does it. You know, I guess he doesn't care about their like a player's background or whatever. If he comes from a sketchy back, you know, he has got a sketchy background. That doesn't really matter to him. And especially with this after it's all come out and you know he got his suspension.
Mm-hmm.
You really see the type of person that he is.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because, like I said, he was mad that he got the three games. And then when he got the three games, he didn't even apologize to the accuser, to the woman that actually got beat. He apologized to Buckeye Nation.
Yeah, it took him a couple of days to come back out and be like, oh, I apologize to Mrs. Miller as well. Like, sorry you went through that, and sorry I didn't say anything. Sorry that you were borderline begging my wife to get some sort of intervention in there. But
absolute disgrace.
Yeah.
But That's unfortunately, especially with college sports, that's the world we live in now. It's all about money and it's all about wins. That's frankly
morals don't exist.
No, they really don't. As long as you're bringing in that cash, we're good. We're good.
It's you know, I look at it in the world I come from. I come from a union workplace, and people complain about the union defending people who shouldn't be defended all the time. Well, I look at it and go, the sports are starting to do the exact same thing.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that.
You know, the negative looks that people get when I tell them what I do, everything's going to that mindset.
Yeah.
If you are really good at what you do and you bring in money, I don't give a shit what you do in your personal life.
It's kind of what it is. That's the way and not even just college football, college sports. I think a lot.
It's sports in general.
Yeah. As long as somebody's pockets are getting lined, that's all they really care about.
That's why I laugh at the Greg Hardy situation. Like, this guy still got another chance after everything he did.
I know. Even if it's a different sport, but still.
Well, no, he's still got the chance with Dallas.
Oh, does he really?
Like, well, after he was released from, what was it, Carolina, for everything that was going on, Dallas signed him.
Yeah.
And then he had more issues there, and now the UFC has him.
Yeah.
And I get fighting and professional football are two different things, but the end of the day, you're still allowing a man with that sort of reputation and that type of criminal background to participate in activities for your organization.
Right. Like, so you try to say, like, at some point, like, when is enough enough? Mm-hmm. It's, I don't think it'll ever get to that point. I really don't.
It's why I'm not – normally I would have something to say and I would have choice words for these people who are constantly going, oh, I'm not going to watch football or I'm boycotting this or boycotting that.
You'll watch it.
There's a lot of people who've completely backed off of it.
Really?
Yeah, that have said that and who have stuck to it. And whether it's the national anthem or whether it's the way these players are being or the college players are being that are being fed into the league, I give them credit for sticking by their guns. But unfortunately, your one vote is not going to top the couple of million votes that the rest of these people have.
No, it's certainly not. But it's – I mean, if you want to continue to watch sports, especially football, I'm making this football kind of exclusive.
Right.
That seems to be where a lot of the trouble comes from is football. Then I guess you have to make that decision if you want to put up with it or not. And I mean, I think the majority of these guys are decent human beings. At least I'd like to think so. But obviously, as we've seen, there's some bad apples.
I would love to agree with you and say most of these guys are decent human beings. And I'm sure there's a large chunk that is. But every day more and more keeps coming out about this, that, or the other thing with this guy. And I'm not saying this guy isn't one particular guy. I'm saying this guy isn't any number of people in this league. So it's why I do actually like what ESPN's doing with not showing the national anthem now.
Yeah, I think CBS is doing that as well.
Is CBS going to do it?
Yeah, I think they're doing it. I think – I want to say either Fox or NBC is doing it too.
I think for right now, this country has their views so scattered with what's going on with that that – putting the attention on the sport itself is a really smart move.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And honestly, I don't really see the point in televising the national anthem anyways. Like, what's the point of it? Seriously, what is the point?
I mean, I get that most sports do that with the exception of baseball. I mean, hockey does it. I listen to it constantly on the radio when I would listen to all the hockey games at work.
Yeah.
The Olympics, obviously, they have their reasons to do it.
But I think the Olympics is a totally separate entity when it comes to
I'm not as familiar with soccer. I don't know. Do they play the national anthems before the games?
I believe they do. I believe they do.
So when you look at it, it's like I get why it's done. I enjoy seeing the national anthem being played. I enjoy seeing everybody lined up, showing their respect and everything. But at the same time, like, it's not a necessity.
No, and I'm not reeling on them actually doing the anthem.
Right.
Like, do it before the game, but I don't think it needs to be televised. I don't see the point in it.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by it's not a necessity.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, as long as I get to see the four quarters of the football game, the national anthem's there, great, I'm right. cool with it. But if it's not, especially right now, then just let it go away. And I don't mean go away as in don't do it.
Right.
I mean just don't put it on the TV so we have to listen to it for the next 6 days.
Yes, I would absolutely agree with that. But it's until these networks decide, like I think in unison, they're like, you're still going to have it and people are still going to get pissed. They're still going to see players kneeling or doing whatever type of protest that they're going to do and they're going to get pissed about it. And, no, that's the right to get mad, but it's also their right to kneel. So it's like you're not right. They're not right. It's they're what they want to do.
It's a whole bunch of people doing what they're allowed to do.
Exactly.
No matter what anybody else's opinions, including yours and mine, are.
Exactly. But anyways, I want to get on to like a different, like a more, I guess, cheerful topic.
I was going to say a less stressful topic.
Yeah, less stressful. Just actual football in general. Because season's starting this weekend.
God, Saturday cannot get here.
Yes. Yes. College football starting here this weekend. Actually, I think it's already started. I think there's already been a couple games.
Has there been?
I believe there has
been. Okay. I haven't got to watch
like
any
smaller
of it,
schools, but yeah, I think there's been a couple games already.
I know usually like Thursday-ish, I start to notice it's on ESPN.
Exactly.
With, like, a team like Western Michigan
Action,
or somebody.
Action, baby. Yeah. Action. But yeah, we got a couple big games this weekend. We got Michigan-Notre Dame, and we got to make some sort of bet over that.
I was going to say we never made our bet.
Yeah,
we never discussed doing it. But.
I mean, we can go with the standard jersey bet or something like that. I'm cool with that.
Yeah,
let's do it up.
I've got no problem with it. I'll go out and buy a Michigan shirt and rock it.
I'll,
and if Joe wants to get involved with it, which I know exactly what's going to happen if you're listening, Joe. You're going to say you're involved if you guys win, and you're going to say you're not involved if you guys lose. But I'll even get myself a hat to wear along with
it.
Oh,
there you go. But, yeah, we got some big games. We got Michigan Notre Dame this weekend. We got Miami LSU, which I will be attending, so that should be a good time. Trying to see if there's any other big games this weekend. I'm pretty sure
I was
going to
say I've had a tunnel vision on this Michigan Notre Dame game for pretty much since the day they announced that they were going back to doing the rivalry game for these 2 years.
Right, and in Michigan, coming into this game, they finally named Shea Patterson their starter, which I think everybody kind of saw coming.
I was going to say, the only way I saw that not happening is if he came in there and was just, right. to use one of your favorite words, a total abomination
right.
of a quarterback.
Right, but Shea Patterson's going to be their starter. And I got to admit, it's going to be tough going to South Bend, your first game in a new system, and plus you're mm-hmm. missing one of your best receivers who's going to be out for yep. a significant amount of time. That line changed because of that.
I don't doubt it.
Notre Dame's the favorite now.
You lost 3 inches on the guy mm-hmm. and quite a bit of speed.
Yep.
And the corner that he's going to match up on most likely, I think, is 6'1".
Oh,
so that 3 inches
yeah.
was a big deal because it took your receiver being taller than him to yeah. now being shorter than him.
Right. But it should be interesting. I'm actually looking forward to that game. And like I said, I was worried because I thought both games were on the same day at the same time.
Right,
but they're
yeah.
not.
and being at the one, you would still know what's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
I plan on talking large amounts of shit to you.
Oh,
both.
I have absolutely no doubt.
Because I know my phone will start ringing that morning
right.
with you guys starting. But it's all in good fun.
Oh, absolutely. And then looking at the schedule, the other big game is Virginia Tech, Florida State.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that was a game.
Yeah. Big ACC, like a divisional game.
I was going to say,
like conference
you're
game.
Kicking somebody Ooh. Out of the championship picture for wow. that immediately. That's the way to do your schedule. Not if I'm at school, I'm not thrilled about it. But being a fan watching this stuff,
right.
I love big matchups right away.
Oh, I do too. That's what Miami and Florida State did a few years ago. They would always mm-hmm. play like on Labor Day weekend, the
okay.
first game of the season. I'm like, I don't know if I necessarily, especially a rivalry game like that. I'm not
right.
necessarily sure I like that, especially if it's a conference game.
I know. I think it was like two or three years ago. Notre Dame started off against Texas.
See, I like that though,
and it was just like I got. You know, and I'm not going to dog Michigan or Michigan State or any of these schools that start off with a smaller school.
Right.
But starting yourself off with a little bit of competition is not a bad thing.
No, and especially with how these, you know, rankings work in the, mm-hmm. the playoff, if you're going to lose, lose early.
Yeah.
Lose early.
And lose to a good team
and
early.
And lose to a good team early.
Like the year Notre Dame kicked it off against Texas the first year, Notre Dame got beat by them, and Notre Dame was a huge favorite in that
mm-hmm.
game. And Texas all of a sudden started winning games, and Notre Dame was able to creep up a little bit in the rankings, not too high, but when you're losing to a team that's in the first week that finishes at 12,
yeah.
it looks a lot better than
oh, absolutely.
You beating
Alcorn State.
Yeah,
yeah.
Eastern Michigan or something.
Right,
like
exactly. I get why they schedule these games, you know, for money, I get it, but I do. I love the big games to start the season off. It's you kind of set your bar for that season.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, all right. This is how our season's going to kind of be. See where you're at, like right from the jump.
And if I'm watching a game, and I'll just keep using the Notre Dame Texas thing as the example because
yeah.
that's the one that sticks out the most for me. But if I'm looking at that, and then the following week Notre Dame's playing a Bowling Green or something.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I need to see out of that team, what they need to work on. So
yep.
I know if that running game or the pass game or the blocking or what I need to look at in those following games. So it gets me more interested in watching that stuff as
oh,
well.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. No, it's I'm looking forward to it. And it should be an interesting season because, I mean, obviously you have Alabama, which they're always going to be, you know, top of the hill, whatever. But I think this is going to be a very wide open season. I don't really think there's that dominant team. I really don't.
I was talking with somebody about it the other day, and they were talking about Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Georgia losing their two running backs
yeah.
is – I'm not going to say it's a death sentence for
no,
them. But
no.
you've got a lot farther to go.
Yeah.
Then you look at what happened with Clemson a couple of years ago. They lose their big receiver. And the following year, they're not as good offensively as they were.
No.
So instead of finishing in first or second, they finished – I think it was fourth.
Mm-hmm.
I just – all these things that I look at with these players that these schools have lost, there's a lot of guys. I mean, Nick Chubb. Nick mm-hmm. Chubb was arguably one of the best players in that national championship game. He was a second-round draft pick.
Right.
So that just tells you how much talent came out this year.
That's true.
Like, there are so many good players that have left schools.
Right.
Notre Dame lost a bunch of a couple of offensive linemen. They lost two running backs. Like, I was looking at all this today because I knew we'd be talking about it going, I thought we were a lot better off than we are. Like, we've lost a lot here.
Right.
Now, I'm not too concerned about it because Michigan, from what they showed last year, returning a lot of their guys, they still like the matchup. But you just look at all this talent that's now in the NFL that college football has lost, and it's like, wait, I couldn't tell you who's going to be in that top four other than Alabama.
It's, I mean, you look at it, I think Georgia will be up there again simply because they have their quarterback. He's
he was incredible.
Had the year under him, got to the national championship game, so I think he's going to be, if he stays healthy, obviously.
Yeah.
I think they're good. Georgia's going to be good again. It may sound biased, and it probably will, but I think Miami's going to be up there. I think Miami's going to be really good.
With what they showed at the end of last year, there's no reason they shouldn't continue to improve.
Yeah, I think they're going to be really – as long as Rozier can step his game up, I think Miami's going to be really good. That defense is going to be
amazing. Have to assume that those teams will continue to improve.
Yes.
Like, there's no team that just stays stagnant. You either progress or digress.
Exactly.
One of the two.
Yeah.
And the way they were progressing throughout that season, I'm expecting it to continue, and you didn't really lose that much.
No, you didn't. And like I said, I think the biggest thing is just Malik Rozier has to step his game up. It's as simple as that. If he steps his game up, yeah, they're going to, especially with that defense, they're going to be really good. Really good.
I have every reason in the world to believe that's going to happen.
And then you look at other teams like out west, I think SC is going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, I mean, again, I like them last year. They were a young team last year when they were doing the things they were doing.
Yep.
But end of the day, they should. I mean, I don't know that they'll be a top four, but they'll be up there.
I mean, losing Darnold, that's tough. You lose your starting quarterback. But I still think they have enough talent.
SC has this way of just finding good quarterbacks.
They do. Though.
Like, everybody thought that with Carson Palmer, and
right.
then Matt Leinart comes walking out, and it's
exactly.
like, okay, can this kid even throw a football?
Yep. Well, in college, he could.
Yeah. Even in the pros, he could. He just threw it to the wrong team a lot.
Exactly. But now, especially with that crosstown rivalry with Chip Kelly going to UCLA, I think that's going to be a huge matchup at the end of the year.
I don't know about that. They got Wilton Spate starting for them.
Hey, that is very true. Yeah, Wilton Spate, who can't – seriously, that guy.
Actually, I don't know that he's starting, but he's playing for them. That's where he transferred to.
But there you go. That's another program that lost another stud quarterback, you know, Sam Rosen. But I think UCLA is going to be better this year, especially with Chip Kelly. Year one – it might take some getting used to, that type of system.
Right.
But I still think they're going to be pretty good. I'm very interested to see how Arizona State fares with Uncle Herm. I'm very interested to see how that goes.
My beliefs on that are similar to yours on John Gruden.
Okay. Can he relate?
Yeah, I think that this game has just so – it's been so long since he's been in this game.
Right.
I don't know that 2002's offensive system is going to work today.
Man. See, I watched a little feature on him a few nights ago.
Okay.
Just kind of how he's running the program. And I think he'll be fine because I think he can relate to today's type player. Unlike Gruden, I don't think he can. I don't see it. And you're seeing it right now with Khalil Mack. By the way, apparently somebody told somebody that he's talking about coming. Did you see that tweet, by the way?
I sent it out in our group text earlier, and I got no response. I was so disappointed by that.
I saw that. I'm just like, you're like a Michigan media Michigan media member on main.
You're taking
really
tips from limo drivers,
and then you tweet about it. What's wrong with you?
Okay, so this was the thing, and I'm not going to call the guy out because he's
if you've seen it, you know what we're talking about.
Exactly. But not only did he take the advice from a quote-unquote limo driver who picked Khalil, quote-unquote Khalil up, but this article I read from CBS also did a side-by-side of Robert Ayers, who the Lions signed today, and Khalil Mack. They look very similar.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Okay.
So this whole thing may have actually been true. He just figured out it was the wrong guy.
But that's the thing. Don't tweet about it. If you don't know, if you're not sure, don't tweet about
it. Yeah, but that's – and I look at it and I totally understand what the guy did because do you need a better source? Probably. But at the same time, you got a tip that the hottest commodity in football right now, who is technically somewhat available.
Somewhat.
It's been made known that he's somewhat available. Everybody's available for the right price.
Oh,
but
for
this
sure.
guy has been made to be known to be available.
Right.
You get a tip that he's in Detroit when you know Detroit's a team that's been rumored to get him.
Mm-hmm.
I think I do the exact same thing he did. I throw that tweet out there. I let it get the traction, and I hope I'm right on it. Because if he's right,
yeah,
he's getting bumped up in time slots. He's going to be out there even more. He's the guy who called this.
But he's wrong.
But
he's
wrong.
Getting hammered like he is today.
Yeah,
he's getting absolutely hammered.
You're either going to be the GOAT or
yeah.
the GOAT.
Oh, he's the GOAT.
Yeah,
not the
unfortunately,
good
one. he's the bottom GOAT in this situation.
He's getting absolutely curb stomped for this.
And
for
I find it funny.
Oh yeah, it's incredibly funny. But
I mean, I don't know the guy. I'm sure he's a great guy, but. I find it very amusing that he's getting drugged through the mud
oh,
right
he is.
Now.
Absolutely.
But like I said, I do the same thing if it's me.
Fair enough. I mean, I don't know. I'd rather be a little bit more certain if I'm going to do something like that. But
and I'll ask you, since we're on that specific part, do you think Robert Ayers even helps the Lions defense?
I think
– I don't think it hurts them, but does it help?
Just watching that defense against who the fuck did they just play? Tampa Bay.
Yeah. His old team.
Yeah, I'm watching it going, they cannot get any pressure on the quarterback, like, at all. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you not get any pressure whatsoever?
And I saw another tweet when I was actually looking through tweets for the one that we were just discussing.
Yeah.
I saw somebody call Matt Patricia a bearded Jim Caldwell.
Oh, Jesus.
And I just went, if that's the type of reputation he's already getting as a head coach, did we really get the best available head coach?
Well, if it was up to Joe, we'd have Mike Vrabel. But
I loved Mike Vrabel.
I would have been
I think
with
Mike
too.
Vrabel is one of the most hard-nosed mm-hmm. players to ever play. Now, does that translate to coaching? I have no idea.
We'll see.
You know, you can tie it into hockey, and that's the example I always use. Wayne Gretzky's the greatest player to ever play hockey. He was not the greatest coach.
No, he was not. He was terrible. Like Alan Trammell.
Yep.
I mean, he was a great
yep.
player, but not a great coach.
And thankfully, the city of Detroit's forgotten about that for the most part,
yes.
so we got his number retired.
Yes.
Finally. Congrats to him.
Yeah, congrats on that. Long overdue.
Oh, very long overdue.
Very long
I'm just
overdue.
Glad he was alive to see this one happen.
Can we get 91 on the rafters, too? That needs to happen.
I believe it does need to happen, but I'm not disappointed it's not up there at the same time.
Fair enough.
I forgot what we were saying before that. But anyways, with Robert Ayers,
yeah.
I think it's a situation that it's not a superstar signing. It's not getting Khalil Mack.
No.
But at the same time, I don't think it hurts.
No, it
take
doesn't.
A chance. It's
yeah.
not a lot of money. It's
a low
one
risk.
Year.
Yeah, yeah.
Just throw him in there. Hopefully if he can get a couple of sacks this year and
anybody
get the double digits in tackles.
Can anybody get some sacks? Just watching that game, I'm just like, oh, my God, this is terrible. And then they had the field goal return for a touchdown.
I heard there was a kick six involved.
I'm like, that is totally – even though it's a preseason, that is totally Lions.
The headline
– that happened.
I think, again, it was as a CBS posting it on Facebook, but it was Tampa Bay goes full Auburn.
Yeah, that's exactly
the
what
kick
they
six,
did. Yeah,
I just
absolutely.
Went, oh, no. I don't even want to see this. I was at work, thankfully, and didn't get to watch it. But
and I think the start of the third quarter, the Lions still had their first team defense out there.
Oh, jeez.
And Tampa had either their backup or third string, and they marched right down the field, scored right down the field. It's like, oh, this is nice.
They need to do something.
Like, I know you're not going to show everything in preseason,
right.
like your blitz packages and things like that. But I mean. At some point, you got to start to wonder: is that what this team is going to look like? And the more I'm watching it, the more I'm like, yeah, I think that's what this team is going to look like. I say that the running game did look a little bit better. It did with LeGarrette Blount. It looked a little
okay.
bit better. He can get those tough yards. So I'm happy about that. But they're still having trouble in the red zone. They still can't score in the red zone.
I really hope they go thunder and lightning with him and Kerryon.
Yeah,
with LeGarrette and Kerryon. The stuff that I saw week one, mm-hmm. I didn't get to watch two or three for the preseason games.
Right.
But the stuff I saw out of Kerryon for week one and was just – if you can keep blocking for that kid, the sky's the limit with him.
Yeah. And that's – the Lions need a back like that. They haven't had
mm-hmm. –
I mean, they tried it with Javid Best. That, I mean, dude, you know, was a Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah.
You know. So it would be nice to have a guy like that that can actually break like a big
right.
run, you know. But, again, that's what it comes down to, that offensive line. Can
mm-hmm.
you guys block?
And I love the things they continue to do with that O-line, but at what point is it going to pan out? It's like the Tigers' bullpen. I think we've made that comparison before.
It is. It's very similar. It
doesn't matter who you get. You could get the best guy from last year, and you throw him in that offensive line, and all of a sudden he's an injury problem.
That Honolulu Blue jersey, man, it just does something. You get lionized, man.
That's. I guess that's a great term for it just because I don't know what happens. Like, you go into the Tigers' clubhouse, and you sit in that dugout out in the outfield in the bullpen, and all of a sudden you suck.
Yep.
Like Phil Koch.
Oh, Phil
Koch was so good coming into it. I hated when he was with the Yankees.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he comes here and I'm like, well, at least we got a decent bullpen arm.
Nope.
And he was just.
And that's the thing. He had the stuff too.
Yes.
He had really good stuff. Yes. It's just every time he threw it, it was over the heart of the plate.
Right.
He got tattooed.
And so I look at the Lions guys and it's like Rick Wagner, great offensive lineman. Mm. What the hell is going on? Why is he not as dominant?
Scheme.
And it could be stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it's him slacking off or being lazy or something like that. I'm not going to start saying he sucks, but whatever he was doing or whatever he is doing now, there is a obvious difference in it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I would agree with that.
TJ Lang, I think, has been pretty close to the same guy like as he was in Green Bay.
I just hope Decker can stay healthy the entire season. I think that was big last year.
That'll make a huge difference.
Yep.
Having Ragnow in there, I'm hoping he pans out to be something because the first preseason game, he definitely looked like he was working out some things.
Oh, yeah.
But
which to be expected.
He's a rookie.
Yeah,
it's his first pro game. Like, right. I totally understand that you've got to figure your shit out.
Yep.
I think my biggest question is, what does Glasgow do?
I have no idea.
Do they put him at tackle? Do they put him at center? Or do they put him at guard? Like, he's versatile. You could put him anywhere. But is he starting caliber? Is he the best backup we have? But he starts right. Like, I don't know where he fits.
Right.
Like, I'm just hoping whatever they do with him, that he steps up and starts playing to the level everybody else has been playing at.
That would help tremendously. Obviously, you know, I'm sick of it. Like you said about like the Lions O-line and the Tigers bullpen. It's just every year it's the same. It's the same thing.
It's the same fucking questions.
Like, come on, what are we doing here? Like, you guys got to develop or something, you know.
Like, you've got to do something with these guys. You need to get Cleveland's offensive line coach.
Oh, there you go.
Did you see that guy?
I don't know who.
Oh, you didn't watch Hard Knocks. That's right.
I did not watch Hard Knocks. Was he a...
He's probably pushing about 400, maybe 450.
Oh, all right.
And he every time he says hike, his belly kind of jumps up. Like, it's been going around social media. So if you get the chance to watch him, he seems like probably the nicest old man in the world, but it's just funny to watch him.
Well, I would definitely have to check that out.
Yeah,
so.
I highly suggest it.
So speaking of something, just, you know, talking about like receivers and whatnot, did you see Odell, he finally got paid?
Yes, it was 95 over 5 years.
95 over 5 years with 65 guaranteed.
Okay.
I'm like, wow.
It's a lot of guaranteed money.
That is a lot of guaranteed money for a dude that's injury prone.
And for a dude who loves partying on boats.
Yeah. Like,
you just gave him $65 million to go get a boat and party on it.
Yep. To me, that's – yeah.
He's coming off of an injury.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He's injury prone. Yeah.
It's not even the injury prone thing. I'm saying, like, he literally did nothing to earn this money
last
year.
I mean, he's got all the talent in the world.
Yeah.
He does.
I saw somewhere somebody had him as the most talented receiver to ever play the game.
Mm.
Not the best receiver, the most talented receiver.
That's arguable.
I would argue that because locally, I look at Calvin Johnson and go, that guy had more talent than Odell even had.
Mm.
He wasn't as fast, but he was just as talented, if not more.
Right.
But I look at him and say, as far as receivers in the game right now, there is one that I would say I 100% know deserves more money than that. Other than that, no. I think he's probably the second best receiver in the game.
Right now?
Yeah. Or can be the second best receiver.
Next to Antonio Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah, that right there I don't think is debatable that Antonio Brown is the best receiver in the game.
It's the best route runner. His ability to get detached from corners is – it's shocking that somebody can do it as often as he does.
That's another one that's a huge injury for going to Jacksonville because
hoping you would go here because I saw an interesting rumor with it.
I just talking about Marquise Lee out for the season.
Yep.
Oof. That's a big loss.
But the first name that gets brought up with that is the most obvious guy that's sitting out there as far as wide receiver goes. Yeah.
Dez. I thought he was going to Cleveland, man. What happened with that?
They offered him $5 million.
And he said no?
He's not said anything yet.
All right.
But Jacksonville's in need of a wide receiver right now. They're a playoff team, you know.
I think it'd be a good fit.
They've got money that's open, and it was a rumored fit from the beginning, from what I understood. Yep.
I think it'd be a really good fit. I think it'd be kind of stupid to not take it. But.
Or at least not go down there for a visit. Yeah. Unless this is what we had discussed before, and he's really just sitting on the sidelines waiting to make that last episode of Hard Knocks a little bit cooler by him walking in to sign.
Right.
You know, unless that really is the deal, which I think the NFL actually does stuff like that.
I wouldn't be shocked
like,
by that.
I would not be surprised if they picked up the phone and was like, hey, offer him a deal. So in week four of Hard Knocks, we can show you offering him the deal, but don't sign it till week five so he can come in and sign
it. Oh, of course, yeah. I could see the NFL doing something like that.
Exactly. So unless something like that's going on, I think he has to at least entertain the idea of it.
All right. Now, going into obviously this last week of preseason, which they're all going to play their scrubs, whatever. And I know you probably haven't watched a lot of preseason games.
No, it's during the week when I'm usually at work for it.
But what you have watched, like what stands out to you like going into the season and how do you kind of see the season playing out?
The number one thing that has stood out to me, and I do also want your opinion on this one. Yeah. You have taken a rule that was so unclear at the catch rule and clarified it and just replaced it with another confusing rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Like you fixed one problem and created a whole new one.
Well, not only, and this whole tackling thing, I shake it because I've seen so many like what are like foreign tackles
right
be called penalties. I'm like, what the hell do you want the guy to do?
I mean, because he makes contact with the top of his head. And
yeah,
stuff.
It's sometimes it's unavoidable. Mm-hmm. Like you can't do anything about it.
You know, you've got these guys going, you know, full tilt.
Yeah.
And some of these guys are running 15, 20 miles an hour almost.
Probably like, faster, yeah.
You're running that fast. You're going full tilt. You have full control over your body, but you don't have full control over your body.
Right.
You can't pinpoint exactly where your head and your shoulder are going
to
line up.
Especially if the guy you're trying to tackle makes a sudden movement.
You're moving that fast. He's possibly moving just as fast.
Right.
Like, you're 100% right that these guys are getting into car crashes every couple of seconds, but there's no way to have a player fully control that.
No, there isn't. And you just seen it. And there's going to be a point in time where an important game is going to be decided on it. You know what's going to happen.
It won't happen this year.
You don't think so?
No. There will be games that are decided for it this year.
Yeah.
But it won't affect that rule this year.
No, I don't. Yeah. They need to tweak that rule. Like, I understand the rule for the safety issue of it. And the NFL doesn't want to be sued anymore. I get it.
Yeah.
But you got to tweak the rule. You have to. Because, as I said, at some point this season, that rule is going to affect the game. And
well, you look at that catch rule.
Yeah.
The catch rule affected the game the first week of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I understand that you give them the preseason to kind of work this stuff out and see how it works and make the adjustments they need to, but I feel like you do it in the preseason, come regular season, you let go of the rule for the first year. Mm-hmm. Then the second year, you use it in the preseason, and if it's a little bit better understood, then go with it.
Yeah.
But give these guys more than 4 weeks to figure this out.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Like, and now they're talking about, well, just review the play, just you know, pick up the flag. I'm like, oh, so let me get this straight. You're already taking a four-hour game, and you're probably going to make it 5 hours if you do that. You know, with because they review pretty much everything, it seems now. So you're going to start reviewing that too. It's like, come on, man. 5 hour games? Well, no, that's ridiculous. You can't do 5 hour games. That's crazy. Yep.
No? It's real quick. I just got this funny text message from a buddy at work.
Yeah.
So I did want to inform you of this since we were talking Michigan Notre Dame earlier. Mm-hmm. So I had made a friendly bet with him, friendly little wager. And I just get a text from him. Says, hey, bro, I'm doing my weekly picks and Michigan's not going to beat the Irish this year. So bets are off.
Nice.
Why? Nice. For the exact reason you said.
What's
as
that?
Soon as that receiver got hurt.
Oh, Tarik Black.
Yep.
Yeah.
As soon as he got injured, I knew people were going to start getting worried about it.
Well, yeah. They said it changed the line because I think Michigan was the favorite before that injury happened. And now Notre Dame is, they're laying one. So Vegas knows something. Vegas always knows something.
Vegas always knows. Even though I still, to go back to a year ago, I still wish McGregor would have figured out a way to beat Mayweather.
Oh, man.
It literally would have shut Vegas down.
It would have shut Vegas down. That would have been crazy. Speaking of that, I'm looking forward to that fight.
The Khabib and McGregor?
Yeah. Like I said, you
it's
know, I'm
be
not
a great fight.
You know I'm not a huge UFC guy, no. But I will definitely watch that fight.
But look at the whole backstory with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I want to see it. That's exactly why I want to see it.
This could legit turn into a jailhouse brawl.
I'd be okay with that.
And I'm not talking just the two guys in the octagon.
Yeah.
You're going to have like...
Both camps, you know.
Not that it's literally the Russian mob, but you're going to have the Russian mob there with Khabib.
Right.
You've got Conor and his crazy Irish folks.
Oh, yeah.
Like...
It's going to be great.
The amount of alcohol that's going to be flowing, the amount of angry people that are going to be there because these two literally hate each other.
Right.
I'm going to watch just because I don't know what's going to happen.
And I think Dana White will stir the whole thing up.
Oh, he's got to.
He will. You know
that
he
press
will.
Conference, they're putting hands on each other.
Oh,
guaranteed.
Oh, absolutely. That's totally going
to
happen.
They don't need Dana in there. They need somebody on either side to hold both of those right. guys as far away from each other as they can.
We'll get a pre-fight. I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. Do the pre-fight. That works. But no, I'm definitely looking forward to that. That should be
a great one. And if it actually ends up happening, I think Diaz's fight the next month will be pretty good as well.
Okay.
Because if Diaz wins... They're going to give him his third against Connor.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
As long as he wins.
Got to win.
So he's going to get what he wants as long as he wins. And I think he's coming out and beating the hell out of the guy because he wants that fight with Connor.
That I will definitely have to check that one out as well. Like I said, you know I'm not a big UFC guy, but like fights like that, just big fights in general,
I
will watch.
The shocking thing is like when it comes to UFC, I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I pay attention to it.
Yeah.
But I get my information from like friends of mine and my brother and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're the guys who are really into it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you get a fight like Khabib and Conor or something like that. I even look at it and go, I want to know everything about this going into it that I can possibly
yeah,
know.
For sure. It makes the fight more enjoyable if you kind of know like what the circumstances are and things like that.
And
so.
We've got still a month to go,
yeah.
over a month to go yeah. before that happens. So give it a week or two and it'll start really picking up steam.
I don't think the presses are going to be like the Mayweather McGregor fight. I don't think it's going to be
no, they're not going to go worldwide with it and everything.
It's not going to be that type of circus, but
the fight week especially.
Oh, yeah.
Like right now you're going to start getting them doing interviews and stuff to do the promotion for the pay-per-view.
Yep.
You'll get some shit talking between not between the two of them, but Conor will talk to ESPN or Fox Sports or whatever and say what he has to say, and then Khabib will be on there a couple of days later. You'll get the back and forth, but that week of the fight, that first week of October is going to be
quite
possibly the most insane that the UFC's ever seen.
Oh, it should be good. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Another thing, like I think Red Wing fan, I'm going to switch to hockey really quick because I read this the other day. And one thing I think Red Wing fans should be looking forward to, it looks like your captain is out for the season. I think he's done.
Really?
Done. Even Ken Holland said this. Done. His back is fucked.
Like I had heard rumors that it was possible.
Yeah, I read an article 2 days ago, or it might have been yesterday. That Ken Holland's like, yeah, we don't expect him to play at all this year.
Okay, so here's the thing, I'm looking at it selfishly as a fan by saying this, and I'll be the first to admit that this is strictly a fandom position because as a player, your health is the number one thing that's most important, and if his back is as bad as they're saying it is, do what you have to do to improve the quality of your life moving forward.
Yeah,
I get that. I understand that. As somebody who played sports growing up, when you got to walk away, you got to walk away, and I get that. As a fan, I think it's fucking bullshit that he does it at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Why did you not do this at the beginning of the offseason when your team could have taken that $6.5 million and gone out and signed somebody to replace you?
Right. No,
you're not a Stanley Cup team. You're not even a playoff team, for fuck's sake. Your team could use every dollar of that $6.5 to go sign somebody.
So
you're waiting until what appears to be preseason to say anything about it?
Well, it's just another way he's fucked this organization.
Yeah, I was going to say, whole some Swedish, kind of leader.
Right. Like the whole Swedish Mafia thing and, this coming out like this late, before the season starts.
You know what? I bought a book and I've been waiting to start it. And it's on the Russian Five.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited to read it. I just want time when I can sit down and read it.
Right.
The next book I want from that organization is what the hell has been going on behind the scenes now with that Swedish Mafia.
Whew. I mean, I've heard some shit.
I was going to say, I've heard a little bit as well.
Yeah.
There's a couple people that I know that have positions, not high positions, very low positions
but
inside of the organization.
Stuff trickles down.
Yes. And and they share what they've seen and heard.
Yeah.
And it's shocking that a professional organization is literally being run by its players and not its management or coaches.
Well, when you have a GM such as Ken Holland, who, in my opinion, is kind of gutless, but That's kind of what it is.
Somehow he has single-handedly become the greatest GM to ever be in this game and one of the worst.
Yeah. There's
he is the greatest pre-cap era GM of all time. And I will say that confidently because he's got three cups to defend that.
I mean, it's pretty easy when all you do is sign your name on a check. Yeah. But
he's got one cup that's post-cap era,
right.
But it was a result of the pre-cap era. So really, you could say he's got four cups because of that. After that, he's not been able to really manage it because, like you said, it's not just checkbook anymore.
Terrible deals, mm-hmm. You know, signing guys with no trade clauses and stuff. Dude, and over the hill guys, and come on.
I would challenge you to find a bigger fan of Justin Abdelkader in this area than me. I love the way the guy plays hockey. It's hard nose. He has the talent. He's got everything across the board. He's not great, but he's a good player. Why he has as much? He's got like a $5 million deal.
Five and a half, something like that.
Yeah. I like the guy. I'm glad he's here. Not at $5.5 million, though. He, in my opinion, is a $4 million player.
I wouldn't even go that far.
If you're going to have him bouncing between your first and your second line, he's got to be somewhere in there.
Yeah, I personally don't think he's good. I really don't.
Really?
I don't. Okay. I don't think he's a good player at all. I really don't.
He's not flash. He's more of a grit. Corners guy.
Yeah. Like, so you
want the total opposite of what he was in college, which blows my mind. But.
Right. You know, sometimes you got to look at Jeremy McCarty. He was a goal scorer in juniors. Not that way in the NHL.
Mm-hmm. You got to change your game.
You got to change your game. But
Malby was the same way.
Yeah. Like, I don't see him as even a $4 million player. I don't.
Okay.
But that's another terrible deal that Ken Holland laid out.
I look at him as a slower version of Chris Draper.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
He's a hard-nosed player. He'll go in the corners. He'll do all the dirt work. But don't expect him to be, you know, getting 20 breakaway goals or something.
No, certainly not. Like I said, that money that he's getting paid is just like
– it's insane.
It's absolutely insane.
Darren Helm, same thing.
Oof, that's another bad one.
Darren Helm. A guy's getting paid, I think, another one that's getting $5 or $6 million to miss 20 breakaways a year.
Dude's got all the speed in the world.
Yeah. Put it in, Luis. Like, come on.
Right? I was just thinking that too, Luis. Yes. No, it's
deals like that I look at. And Cronwall at the same time, same deal. Croner was one of the best defensemen in this league at one point. He was probably the best second pairing defenseman out there at one point. Why is he still making $6 million?
That's another guy that I think he needs to shut it down because he's kind of in the same boat as Zetterberg is.
Yeah.
His body just can't handle it anymore.
And I was a huge fan of both of them at one point.
Right.
I mean, I have a Hank jersey. I own one hockey jersey other than the ones I had. I loved Hank.
Yeah.
And as soon as he became captain, I went, nah, not the job for him.
No, it isn't.
And I thought it was.
Yeah. I think a lot of people did.
Yeah. I was like, really big on that.
You know, a Swedish captain passing it on to another Swedish captain. Okay, that made sense at the time.
Yeah. You got to learn from him.
Yeah.
You still have that friendship where you can ask him things.
Right.
But, and I think one thing, and you being local, but you being on the outside of the Red Wing fan base, I think you could probably speak on it better than I could. Nick is a one of the kind player.
Hmm.
Like, to follow in his footsteps was going to be nearly impossible.
Yeah. It was.
That's my view as a fan.
No, yeah.
But at the same time, Hank has done such a bad job.
Oh, absolutely.
Of following in
his
footsteps.
He absolutely has.
He hasn't done it with his play. Like, you have some captains that are all play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm flash, watch me play, Ovechkin style.
Yeah.
Do what I do, not what I say.
Right.
And then you have some guys who are the total opposite, like a Jonathan Toews, who is talented.
Mm-hmm.
But do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
Like, I can get away with doing this stuff, but
yeah.
don't play like I do. Not that he's a bad player by any means. Hank was kind of like, man, I'm sort of a good player.
Right. I
sort of know what I'm doing off the ice. Okay. I wouldn't listen to me at all. But
no, certainly not.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that leadership quality, I don't think. But apparently in the room, he can run things however he sees fit, which is amazing to me that any coach – or any GM would let that happen. Like, oh, no, these guys are playing. Like Jonathan Erickson, for example. Why the hell that dude, that human pylon, even plays any minutes?
Human pylon. Human pylon. That's a perfect.
That's exactly what he is.
He's a construction barrel.
Exactly. which is perfect for Michigan.
No, because the difference is at least the construction barrel lights up every once in a while.
I mean, he gets lit up if you want to go that route. But the only reason why he plays is because of Henrik Zetterberg.
Yeah,
it's simple as that. It is simple as that.
He can't fight. He can't hit. He can't shoot. He can't score. He can't defend.
No.
He can't nothing. He swings a stick out there.
See, Lidstrom could do that. He could swing a stick out there and get away with it because he could.
But
you know.
Nick was on the shorter end. He kept that stick close.
Right.
Not to get too technical with it, but yeah. Erickson, I call him Big Rig a lot. It's a buddy of mine gave him that nickname, so I call him Big Rig if you wonder who the hell I'm talking about when I say that.
Right.
But he just swings his stick, and his stick's so damn long, it's like Chara. It's easy to go in and out underneath it.
Right.
Like, your blade's only so long.
And he's slow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's easy to go around him.
Like, it's not hard to do. Chara, at least, was able to do other things and play the body.
Right.
That's why he got away with – or gets away with being so damn big but
right.
still being out there. Erickson can't do that.
It's just a bad situation all around just for that organization. They're not going to be – They got a ways to go.
It needs – once Hank officially retires,
yeah.
the following offseason or that offseason, if he does happen to somehow make it out there this year, which at this point you're getting paid 6.5 on the books this year. You better figure out how the hell he's out there. But as soon as he retires, I think we have to strip everything.
Oh, yeah.
Just take it down to nothing.
Absolutely.
If you want to leave Mantha, if you want to leave Anthony Seu, if you want to leave Larkin – I would hope a guy like Abdelkader does get to stick around. That's
right.
The rumors I've heard for the next captain.
Well, you know Larkin's staying around because he just signed a new deal.
Yeah,
so.
Larkin's got the 5 years.
Yep.
Mantha, I think, signed for two.
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony Seu, I think, signed for
two
last
year. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
So these guys will be around, but very easily movable. So
yep.
if he does retire next offseason, yeah, get rid of what you can and just rebuild from nothing like we've been postponing.
Right. But he doesn't want to do that. He wants to build on the fly. If Ken Holland is still here, which
– Right. But when you look at it, I think Franzen's finally coming off the books. Jimmy's coming off the books. If Hank retires, he's coming off the books.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cronner's only got a year or two left. When you look at the position we're going to be in at the end of this offseason,
yeah.
it's going to be really easy to strip this thing down.
Yeah.
So
but
now's the time to do it.
But that's the incompetence that it should have been done years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago. And – Red Wing fans, you're going to pay for it. It's gonna be a long rebuild. And a rebuild that should have only taken, I'd say, 4-ish years max if they had done it right.
And I know it's a deal you would have hated because you love the Leafs. But my understanding was at the trade deadline, Babcock was begging for Zetterberg.
Really?
If Zetterberg is not able to be moved right, if he's not able to play anymore, the fact you didn't trade him for a 7th-round pick even –
Yeah,
looks like just pure incompetence, like you said.
Oh, absolutely, it does. And but that's been that organization for quite a while now,
right?
And it's ever since Mike died,
right?
It's kind of been run that way,
and that's based on internet rumors. So do with it what you will,
right? Right.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of information that I get that's just based off of bullshit internet.
Wait,
rumors.
It's on the internet. It's got
to
be true,
exactly. And that's why I make it a point to say
right,
that.
Right.
Like, this is what I heard. If this is true, this is how I feel about it. If
right.
it's not, then it is. It's a bullshit internet rumor.
Fair enough. That's very true. I want to hop back into football really quick.
Okay.
I know Joe's not here, and I was kind of wishing he was because I kind of wanted his picks. But I think it's time. What's your national championship?
Oh, fuck.
Let's go. Do it.
I mean, Bama's got to be in there.
Yep.
I really feel like it's going to be somebody random.
Yeah.
It's like Florida State a couple years ago where they just randomly snuck in there.
Right.
And I don't want to be that guy to say it's going to be State, but I really like Lewerke.
Mm.
So I think State could be a team that sneaks into the playoffs.
I can see that.
But I don't know that they're good enough to get to a championship game.
Okay.
But just for shits and giggles, I'm going to throw State out there with Alabama.
Michigan State, Alabama?
Yeah.
All right. I like that.
I would love to say that my Irish are going to do it, but I think it's going to be a season of mediocrity out there.
I like that. I'm going to go Georgia.
Okay.
Versus Miami. I think Miami's going back. I think it's about time.
It's time?
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
All right. I'll add that. I see you're writing it down. I'll add it to our list of picks as far as seasons go.
Right.
I still have our Tigers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about the Tigers.
Oh, I have on here that Chris said Tiger would win on June 18th of 2019.
Oh, is that right?
I don't know. You picked Tiger to win something.
It's got to be a major.
Joe's got the Browns winning six games this year and the Niners making the playoffs. And then our Detroit Tigers picks of Joe saying they'll lose 110, you with 100, and me with 90. I think I'm definitely going to be wrong on that.
Yeah, I think – it'll be somewhere between 100 and 110.
That's a really bad team right now.
They're so bad.
It's so bad that we haven't even talked about them in weeks.
No, we haven't. And don't get me wrong. I loved watching the team, but it's just gotten to the point now where it's just like, all right, let's just end this, please.
Yeah, and honestly, if they shut down the season for them, I don't think anybody would be disappointed.
No, I'd be all right with that. Yeah. One more Super Bowl pick.
Super Bowl pick?
Yes.
Oh, God. I'm going to call Tom Brady to walk it off.
Okay. I figured you'd go New England. Verse? Who are they playing?
I mean, it could be a repeat of last year's. Philadelphia's still a really good team.
Uh-huh.
I'll go with the repeat. We haven't seen a repeat in a really long time.
No,
so.
We haven't. I'm going to go Pittsburgh versus the Rams. And Steelers are winning it.
Oh, you're picking the offense over the defense.
I'm picking the Steelers.
All right. I don't hate that pick. I obviously am a fan of both Brown and Bell.
Right. As long as Roethlisberger can stay healthy, I think Steelers are going to the Super Bowl.
He lost some weight, too.
He did.
He looks like he might end up being a little bit faster out there.
Anywho, on that note, we gotta get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Follow us on Facebook. Like us on Twitter. I know I totally screwed that up, but my bad.
Follow us on Facebook. Like us on Twitter.
Yeah, reverse that, please.
Love us on Instagram.
Love us on Instagram. No show next week. And again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
See you guys.
Bye.